This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And happy, it's National Chicken Wing Day. Woo, do you celebrate? Because I sure don't. I'm like, all that work for like one bite of meat? Who thought this was a good idea?
Well, obviously somebody did, because there's restaurant chains that make a killing on it.
Entirely devoted to the least meaty part of a chicken, and the one that you basically, by the time you get through everything, it's like, that was a nice little bite. Teaspoon of chicken.
I will admit I do the workaround a little bit, where you do things like buy like chicken poppers and things like that, and then you put the sauce that you would get on your wings on them, and then you're getting 100% meat.
So that's like boneless chicken wings, which is like, we'll just call them chicken tenders then. I don't know. It also is National Lasagna Day, which I do celebrate. As a good Italian girl, I celebrate National Lasagna Day. And it's National Lipstick Day, which, okay, I wear lipstick when I need to. How about you, Hunter?
I will plead the fifth. Oh, no.
It's okay, really. It's okay.
I know. It's very acceptable in today's environment. And I will go back and say that there was probably a day around 40 some odd years ago that hanging out with some cousins and things like that, I might have ended up with some lipstick on. But otherwise,
but it was against your will.
Yeah, never intentionally worn lipstick.
Well, a whole bunch of stuff happened on this day too, but the one that jumps out at me, because I remember it, I was living back in North Jersey working at the Paramus Mall, and it was when Prince Charles married Lady Diana. That was such a huge spectacle. Oh my gosh. And I think I took the day off from work to watch that. It was either that or Luke and Laura's wedding on General Hospital. But I remember back in the day, General Hospital used to be a big thing. But I remember this wedding so much. And I always, we're kind of the season a little older than I am, but that was such a big deal. Oh my gosh. It was a huge deal. At least for us girls that wear lipstick.
Well, wasn't there a big one in 2000 when Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston got married, too?
Oh, totally the same.
Almost. Hollywood royalty instead of international royalty.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that didn't last very long. I thought they were a cute couple, though. Anyway, okay, so we didn't get a chance to talk about this because on Monday night, I took one for the team, you guys. Yeah. I did have my Burgundy Big Gulp, but I watched the Salem City Council meeting.
I'm glad it was you. Better you than me, I guess, is the easiest way to put it.
Yeah, well, I kind of was texting you, and I can't say on the air what I said, but whoa! It was long. It was harkened back to the days of yore when the meetings would go until the wee hours of the morning, and then had some nice people that, mayors and things like that, that reined it all back in and actually, let the people testify at the beginning of the meeting. This one was focused on data centers, and I saw a lot of video coming out. I think Salem Business Journal, again, hat tip to them. You can read their articles, and they're not behind a paywall, and I really appreciate that. Pictures around the block at the library, and if you know where the library is, it's like stretching all the way around, and there were a lot of people. And frankly, I gotta say, there were far too many obnoxious jerks in the crowd. I saw a lot of that. If you watched the testimony and you heard what the heckling and what was going on in the gallery, not okay.
Well, that harkens back to some of those meetings we saw, whether it was the school board or city council during those 2020, those COVID years when the bullies kind of ran the meetings.
Oh, they were there.
Oh.
And so were the Democrat Socialists of America. At least seven of them got up to testify. Very proud DSA members.
And admitted to it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it was interesting. So I actually, that night, I put a post out because I had some recollections. I had some thoughts. So I'm going to share that. And then I got there were a lot of good comments, a lot of people thoughably commenting on this. And I said, I'm watching the Salem City Council meeting tonight. Lots of passionate testimony on the proposed data center. I applaud everyone taking the time to speak. These are important issues that deserve a real robust discussion with legitimate questions and concerns addressed. Absolutely. I stand by that. That said, I found it jarring to hear so many opponents passionately defending Oregon's, quote, natural beauty and wild spaces while the state is literally on fire due to years of negligence managing those very resources. Also ironic, many reading their prepared remarks directly from their phones, devices powered by the very technology and infrastructure they're opposing. And yeah, they likely benefited from AI to help craft the comments. Of course they did. So let's set the emotion and the theatrics aside. Salem should carefully weigh the actual facts, data, and trade-offs, not histrionic appeals meant to intimidate. This decision matters too much for anything else. I stand by that. What I saw was a lot of people trying to thoughtfully comment. There were a lot of people there that are construction workers that work on this. I thought the most shameful, though, was when the representatives from the company got up to speak. They were treated terribly. It was it was embarrassing to watch that they were heckled and shouted down. I heard through the grapevine, through people that were there, that as they were trying to leave, they were treated the same way. They were harassed. That's not okay, Salem. That's not okay. Literally, do better.
Yeah, I sit here and I go, you know, this is one of those scenarios where if this was an up and operating data center, these people would know nothing about it.
That's the other thing. It hasn't been approved. It's still it's in the planning and the talking about stage. So these people, again, as what usually happens in Salem, there's a group of people, say around 70 or so, that whip up, put out the talking points, mobilize the people. They're very, very good at it. And they show up at these meetings en masse. And they will intimidate. I mean, there were some gentlemen that were there that were workers. They were heckled. Anybody who dared to speak against what the larger group that was mobilized, as we always see, was shouted down, intimidated, yelled at, cut off. The what's her face from Ward 2? Nishioka kept threatening to shut it down. Never did shut it down. She should have shut it down early. Cleared everybody out. You can watch this at home. If you cannot behave like civilized adults, go home. Turn on your YouTube and watch it there.
To me, that's the thing. Is you know, I'm all for giving every opportunity for the people that actually want to come out there and give their statement and say their thing. So I won't sit here and say she should have shut it down, but she should have had the hecklers removed immediately.
Yeah, clear the hecklers.
The moment those hecklers open their mouth, they are done. They are out of the building and they're no longer a problem. But unfortunately, we've created the scenario where this is a typical meeting now. You know, congratulations to all the people that went out. I wish we could see this kind of turnout when we're dealing with something like the homeless or the drawdown of Detroit Lake or you know, potential violence issues or bridge issues or whatever else issues, because there's a lot more pressing than this in Oregon right now, in Salem in particular. But let's get these kinds of turnouts, but let's have the people that want to be respectful and hear other sides of the argument, because if they're heckling, they have no desire to hear or let other people hear any difference that might shake the foundation of what they're fighting against.
Exactly right. And so it's completely unproductive. It shuts down dissent. You've got a couple that were up on that dais that were pandering like crazy to them. Shame on them as well. Because what this actually needs, like I said, is carefully weighing actual facts, actual data, trade-offs, because there are some. And people raise legitimate concerns. There's noise concerns. There's water usage concerns. There's power grid concerns. All of those are valid. But if you've got a bunch of people in the audience that are obnoxious and can't control their have no impulse control, you never get to that decision. And that happens far too often in the city of Salem, where you never get to that. It just gets killed because emotion and loud yelling.
Yeah. For one, am sick and tired of seeing public discussion being hindered and halted simply because you have loud, obnoxious people that have spent the last 5-6 years being told your emotion matters more than facts and discussion. It's why we're not getting anywhere quick. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. And so these issues, they never really get resolved. They just become more talking points issues. And then, you know, somebody noticed too, because we talked about there were the only people that actually proclaimed their political status were the DSA Democrat Socialists, which the way if you watch the testimony, they're very well spoken and they have, you know, words matter and they can be twisted. And a lot of people were making that this seems to be a recruitment issue, because all of a sudden data centers are a hot button issue. And I know people on both sides that have concerns, valid concerns. I haven't landed anywhere on this. I've not made any decision. I want more data. I want to know more. I remember the one I saw when I was down in Utah 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and it was big and it was sprawling and there were concerns then. So this is a big issue. But this seems like this is also being used as a recruitment tool. You're upset about this. You're scared. You're come with us. And that's, it did have that feel. So I appreciated people counting that out. And again, this woman counted 7, 3 of them being nurses.
So
this is concerning.
So people, they're not only admitting their political affiliation, but they're also talking about where they work. And I sit here and go, that doesn't make me feel really good.
No, No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Let's go ahead and take a break, because the other side of that that came out at that meeting was with the use of NDAs, mm-hmm. non-disclosure agreements, which a lot of people started getting all upset and, again, emotional about them. And there's a lot of information. There's been some other conversations about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I sit here. Well, I also sit there and go, and this, it's not a new concept, because, you know, they've been touting the NDA issues at the federal level for the last number of years to try and get that big bad guy sitting in the White House, too.
Yeah. So let's come back and talk about that, because that also came out of this meeting. And a lot of people have comments and questions. Again, you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Miller's Barbecue and Catering.
All right. So the other issue that came out of all this was the use of NDAs, which, as most people know, and especially people who, you know, pay attention to local government and things like that that are going on, economic development, they're really pretty standard. They're not controversial. You've got a business coming in. There are negotiations happening between the city and the entity. You don't want those out in the public. What? Until it's all finalized and ready to go.
No. A non-disclosure agreement is a way of hiding criminal behavior. It's why Trump had people that might have accused him of misconduct sign them when he gives them a payoff, or, you know, the Epstein stuff. I'm sure there's non-disclosure agreements everywhere. Of course, P. Diddy had some of those. They have to be part of the criminal element.
Well, and that seems to be sort of the knee-jerk reaction from a lot of people that are upset about this. I saw so many people go up to the podium and say that they should be done away with, and we need to run everything by the populace. I'm like, this is a representative government here. You've elected these people to deal with that and to handle that. You either trust them or you don't. If you don't, vote in different people. But and frankly, it was a bit of a learning opportunity mm-hmm. for the council maybe to make some statements about what these things are and other instances where they've been used. Maybe they said that. I did not watch the whole meeting. But why not come out and educate the populace? Because clearly the people that are feeding the information to a lot of these people are not putting, either they're being selective in what they're putting out, and or they're not telling the truth.
Well, I sit here and go, in the world of business, an NDA is so very common. Years ago, I actually worked for a company where I had to sign an NDA because they were a company trying to build, and they didn't want their motivation and their ideas and their direction revealed to potential competition. So it sounds like something that makes a little bit of sense if you're trying to build a business where, especially let's say it's a medium size. Let's say it's a Bi-Mart. Okay, Bi-Mart, a good medium-sized, you know, kind of a have-it-all store. If they were to put out publicly their plans for growth, what would stop a Target or a Walmart from coming in and kind of taking over those plans?
Yeah.
That's the purpose of an NDA.
Right. Again, and it's negotiation. And again, we're sitting here, we're at the very, very beginning. There's nothing really, nothing's been signed, nothing's been agreed to. There's just nothing yet. Mm-hmm. It's in talks, and it's this company. I don't know if I was this company the way my representatives were treated. I mean, if that was the goal, to run them out of town, I mean, maybe they did. I don't know. But again, the rest of the community that actually wants to have an adult conversation with data, if this is allowed to stand and if it's continued to be pandered to by some on the dais, what a disservice to the rest of the city and the rest of the region who wants to have a full, robust conversation and explore all the options.
Well, I've seen scenarios similar to this happen in other communities where they want to build a building in our community. They want to hire our local builders to do it. They want to hire local people to work in it and run it. And they get chased out of town by 70 people or so leading a posse out there. Well, guess what? Now they'll go out and they'll maybe talk to Staten or Silverton or Sublimity or Dallas or Albany or Hillsboro. And eventually the financial benefits could all be in a different community that we get to watch from afar.
Yeah. But if you're never allowed to have that conversation, it kind of reminds me, I hearken back to, what was that issue about a span that goes over a river that would have made more spans to go over the river, making it easier. And a group of about five people just put the kibosh on that after, what, 30 years of discussion? And then it just stopped. And, you know, and again, if this doesn't show you the power of showing up, the side shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a loud, squeaky wheel, and they show up every time. Yeah. I was looking in the audience. I'm like, okay, I see some people, and I saw some people testifying, but not enough. Mm-hmm. And I get that because we've seen the intimidation tactics and what happens there, but really, and there needs to be more security at these meetings. But again, I don't know how this is going to go down. My hunch, given the leadership that's going to be coming in at the beginning of the year, I don't know, probably not going to have robust, fact-driven conversations about this.
Well, see, I've seen a bunch of still pictures from outside the library before happening. And yeah. I would wonder if some people that are maybe either pro data center or even I haven't decided yet, I want to hear what's actually being discussed showing up. You see these people outside holding big signs and being loud and obnoxious and making sure that everyone outside the building knows their opinion. You're a little less likely to venture in if you don't feel it's going to be an open and friendly discussion.
Gosh, it almost seems like that's the goal, huh?
Hmm.
And it was standing room only, which clearly shows there are a lot of people that have concerns on both sides. What I'm also seeing, especially on more thoughtful channels and thoughtful posts and things that are out there, is a lot of people haven't landed anywhere on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're going to be persuaded by a bunch of loudmouth people that are carrying pre-printed signs and coming en masse and are on camera appearing to bully people into their point of view. People aren't persuaded by that.
Well, it seems like people in the elected positions are more than willing to kind of bend the knee to a certain extent, especially on this NDA option, where I've seen some political leadership post out there that, you know, maybe we should just do away with the NDA, what would be the ramifications of that?
Yeah. So you want, we talked yesterday on the show about real estate and talked about the ramifications of that being living wage jobs, not, you know, minimum wage, people wanting to afford housing, all the things that I bet a lot of the people in the group with the pre-printed signs care about. So it seems very short-sighted. I mean, maybe a lot of noses being cut off, faces in spite of themselves, it's like the hypocrisy is staggering. I know that side doesn't care about the hypocrisy, but if you're looking at it, looking at the picture, pulling out a little bit and looking at the big picture, those are all conversations that can be had at the same time.
Well, the messaging that Salem may do away with NDAs, how does that help build the business community? I mean, imagine this. We have this In-N-Out Burger up in Kaiser. Do you think that they just one day put down a stake and said In-N-Out is coming to town? No, there was an NDA, because the last thing that In-N-Out Burger wanted to do was let McDonald's or Burger King or any of their direct competition realize that they're talking about expanding into Salem Kaiser area. So now you're sending a message out to businesses around the country that Salem may not be friendly enough to honor or sign an NDA to encourage your business to open up in Salem.
Yeah, that's going to have a ripple effect. And I don't know whether that's an intended or an unintended consequence.
Well, especially coming from people that should know better. They're elected officials. They know why these NDAs are signed.
Right.
And yet, are you doing it because you actually truly believe this, or are you doing it because you believe that your followers are stupid enough to buy that you don't think an NDA is necessary?
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting question. I'm just getting a message here, too. A person who was there not feeling safe questioning because there was a school board member sitting in for one of the counselors who got a lot of talking time, which I thought usually when you're a guest counselor, I'll have to run that by, that you don't necessarily... It's more to kind of sit there and listen and learn, but this individual spoke a lot and seemed pretty pleased with how the crowd reacted to her. Again, you need to go back and watch the video. I would always encourage you, even if you can't make the meetings, go watch the videos. Granted, you don't get all the angles of everything, and it's different than being in the room. It's interesting that this individual did not feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Those are valid concerns, and those should concern council again. And making idle threats to shut things down or have people leave, either don't make the threat or follow through on it, because she made it a number of times and there was no follow through, which tells everybody you're not serious about
this. Well, the moment you make the threat and you're not willing to follow through, so I'm talking the second, third time repeating the same threat, you sent the message that there is really no consequences for bad behavior. You just do what you want. And unfortunately, it encourages it, and it gets worse as it goes on, because guess what? There is no teeth behind a threat if you're not willing to act.
Exactly. And we see this happen at school board meetings as well, when it's just the bad behavior is allowed. Now, again, everybody has the right. And like I said in my post, I applaud everybody for showing up. That's great. That's your right to do that and to be heard. But my gosh, enough with the vinegar. Maybe try a little honey. I don't know, because I don't know where this goes from here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happens now, because it's a, you know, there's an economic development side of this that will it get a hearing? Will it not? And those people that are on that side of it have every right to voice their concerns as the people that are opposed to it. But if you're opposed to it, present some actual data, not your feelings.
Yeah.
Don't care about the feelings.
Well, and that's the question is will this hit a wall, especially as we transition into new leadership next year? Will this go the way of the third bridge, where it just becomes, sorry, we're not interested in economic development here in Salem. We're not interested in providing, you know, working wage jobs for people. We care about feelings more than in economics.
Yeah. And that people need to be paying attention to what the message it says to the broader business community. When Oregon is really facing so many struggles right now, doesn't seem like this maybe is the right time to be obstinate and dig your heels in on this. Maybe just listen.
Well,
and bring some data, back up your claims, have a conversation.
Well, I sit there and go, if this falls apart based on feelings, I fully expect we'll see, you know, a nice solar panel farm taking over that area of town, because you
how about some windmills?
That'll make you feel good and everything else.
All right, we're gonna take a break to the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Okay, point of order, point of clarification. I do. My memory was a little bit fuzzy. I just got texted. A guest counselor is allowed to speak and ask questions. They are not allowed to make motions and vote. And so that was all handled properly last night. She spoke a lot, but she's perfectly within her. It's totally fine for her to do that. So there you go. Wanted to clear that up.
That's right. Don't want to have any, you know, looking back on any past, you know, guests out there.
No, that maybe spoke up a lot when they were a guest counselor. So, right. Yeah. So, okay. All right. Well, we got to talk about the ugly little troll in the room, and that's Anthony Fauci.
It's the sad little man.
Oh, the sad little man. That's right. That's so funny, because Five Times August recorded that song right in the thick of it. I mean, before really early on, and I want to say 2021.
Yeah.
That came out, and I've shared that on my, if you're interested, I will send that to you, because man, that has held up.
Was that
prescient or what?
That is still in my play rotation.
Me too.
Yeah. I still listen to hear that song on occasion. In another Five Time August song, I believe it was Hey Joe.
Oh, yeah.
That one, actually, my daughter loves that song. I don't think she quite understands what it's about, but she loves it.
Sad Little Man is a good song, and I almost messaged you, it's like, we should play Sad Little Man, but I don't want to spend too much time, because all of our national brothers and sisters are talking about this. I have been watching clips on this, because it started early, because it's East Coast time, but he is appearing before the Senate. It's one of the funniest things, though. This is a Twitchy article, and I laugh because the dude's not saying anything. Of course, we didn't think he would. But Senator Hawley hilariously forces Fauci to plead the fifth on his tie color in the day of the week, because basically he has decided to take the fifth. So you either take the fifth or you take the mic. You don't get to do both. He had one of his lawyers. He was trying to bring the lawyer in to like sing a song and dance for him. And it was like, he got kicked out. Mm-hmm. See, you can do it. You can kick these people out. Senator Paul did it.
Yeah.
And so Hawley made him do that. And he had to, you know, he has the statement, and I respectfully, blah, blah, blah. And he's been saying, I think he said it 111 times today. Yeah,
I know of at least 80. I was streaming on my phone about the second half or so. And my initial reaction was anger, because.
Yep, me too.
We know the lies. We pushed back against it at the time. We've been confirmed that all the science he talked about was all just jargon and made up out of his head. We knew he was out there feeling the celebrity of being the most known person in the country at that point. And then I, you know, finishing up it, Rand Paul's final statement of, you know, we know you're not going to say anything. We're going to, you know, we'll look into contempt charges, whatever else. And it kind of dawned on me that if you look, I think Fauci brought like six lawyers. One got kicked out, but a couple of them didn't look as though they were really professional lawyers. They look more like bodyguards when you'd see celebrities wandering around. I'm kind of going, you know, logically, the guy probably can't speak on anything because while he is complete immunity because of the pardon that Biden gave him.
Well, the auto pen gave him.
Well, okay. Whoever. Somebody in Biden's office stamped it, whatever it was. But if he started talking, he'd have to name names that probably aren't protected in the same way he is.
Well, he has immunity from 2014 to whenever the date of the pardon was. And actually, you don't, since he was fully pardoned, he doesn't have the right to plead the fifth because he can only plead it if he's in legal jeopardy. He's covered that way. So it was interesting to watch him continually reach that out. I think that's interesting about the guy. Were they cracking their knuckles and kind of glaring
just,
at him?
Like, just the looks.
You better be careful there, Fauci.
Just kind of the looks on their faces and the intimidating stature just sitting right behind him. And maybe it was all the, you know, the way that the camera angle was and this and that.
Yeah.
But it just kind of, it said to me, you know, while the guy that got kicked out obviously looked like a lawyer, the guy that was sitting behind him at the time looked like a lawyer, the guy on the other end looked like a lawyer. These two guys were very big, very intimidating kind of looks to them. And it just kind of, it was like, are you here to make sure he pleads the fifth? Because some other people or entities or government officials or news stations or whomever might be at risk if he was to actually open his mouth.
I don't know. It's a theory. It's a theory. I did get some satisfaction out of watching him have to sit there and listen to him be excoriated for the vile garbage that this, I mean, the damage this individual has done is beyond the pale. And it's really frustrating, like you said, to watch it. And mine was anger as well, because I know these hearings, they're political theater. The people that really need to see this, like the people that were lied to and fell for this crap, are never going to see this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the media won't share any of this, any of that information. They'll make sure. I was watching a clip from some news station where somebody on the, you know, the talking heads kind of brought it up. And the actual host of the show shut it down immediately. Said, we're not talking about that. We're moving
on
to the next one.
CNN Abby Phillips. Mm-hmm. And that was, this woman was trying to just bring it up. And everybody, I mean, you watch it. It's like, woo, we're riling up the demons with this one. Because they just glommed onto her and talked over her and would not let her get a word in edgewise every single time. I mean, she was genuinely and rightfully frustrated. It's interesting to see. Thou shalt not speak.
Yeah. Well, and the other one that stuck out to me, and I didn't get to see it live, I've seen the replay clips, is at the start when Fauci's reading, which is the other irony, is he read an opening statement before he claimed the fifth the rest of the way through, which I understand you can't do that too. That opening statement, if you're not going to talk, you don't get to talk.
Yeah.
But he's holding a piece of paper and his hands are shaking like a leaf in a tornado. The paper is going a million miles an hour as he is just shaking. And at 80 years old, maybe there's some physical reasons behind it, but the way it was shaking, and he wasn't shaking as much the rest of the way, I'm sitting there going, he was very, very nervous.
He's had other instances when he's appeared before Congress when that has happened too, especially when he's really not telling the truth. The other thing is that diary has just been so damning. And again, nobody, the major media is the ABC, the Alphabet Networks aren't reporting on it. So most people are not seeing it. But I got this one here. During COVID, he averaged 11 media hits a week for 2 years running, totaling 1741 interviews and an estimated 470 hours of media. It turns like, I guess Good Morning America was the number one spreader of this information. And there's a lot of, you know, mixtapes out there of the fawning over the, you know, the Morning Joes and the Jake Tappers and all the fawning and the, you know, the, oh, the Fauci ouchie and the bobblehead doll. I mean, all of it, when you look back on it, it's so nauseating.
Mm-hmm. And kind of the only real touch I've seen out of the left-wing mainstream media has been, you know, how dare they share his private thoughts? This is a diary. It is supposed to be kept secret. It is, you know, your own. I'm like, you're trying to harken back to the 5-year-old girl with her little diary. And I'm kind of going, but he did it on government computers.
Yeah. So sit down. That's not true. And I saw, what's the guy from TMZ? They're all just, oh, they're clutching their pearls. I think Blumenthal came out and, oh, this is just, it's like, sit down. You're wrong. You just be quiet. Stop.
Well, it always makes you wonder, are you mentioned in these things? It's almost ironic when a government employee gets caught putting their personal thoughts on a government server. It's like, how dumb are you?
Doesn't he know about bleach bit or the rag that Hillary used when she wiped hers clean? The whole thing is gross. I guess Rand Paul is referring him to a contempt of Congress, but like you said, that's a year in prison.
Yeah, max. And he won't serve that.
Nope.
But, you know, I just sit here and going, there it is. It's, you know, Fauci may have been the figurehead and the prima donna and what we watched on TV for umpteen years straight telling us how we needed to live because he was science. There's others behind him. And that's who this, I think, was really about protecting is the shadow government. I'll put it out there.
Yeah, and you have to. Why does science need to plead the fifth? Mm-hmm. Isn't it settled? I know it's maddening. And again, I don't know that in this life there will be any consequences. There will be any justice. I don't know, but it's interesting because somebody did do the most repeated words in this cringy. I swear it's like a 14-year-old girl. Never once appeared in this diary. Peer review, meta analysis. Risk benefit, learning loss, mental health. Nope. Once N95, once cost benefit, once seroprevalence, twice cloth mask, school closure, and natural immunity, against which award appeared 80 times. Mm-hmm. Hero, 49 times. Instagram, 36 times. Bobblehead, 23 times. Selfie, 19. And then entire entries headed press, 641 times. He was having a ball.
Well, and from my understanding, and in one of the later on testimonies, there has been some whistleblowing from former chief of staff and people, and he utilized 8 government employees to push and make sure he was receiving awards and financial benefits during this period of time. Groups that should have been monitoring how COVID is going are instead reaching out to make sure that he is financially benefiting and getting awards for being so amazing.
Yeah, it's all so gross. And you know what else I blame him for? That cringy celebrity video singing Imagine. We got that because of him. Mm-hmm. Those damn dancing nurse videos that we had to sit there and watch all the time. That's thanks to him, too. The stupid skits on like The Late Show with what's his face that doesn't have a job anymore with the dancing syringes. I mean, the skits and the propaganda and the bullying and the lies. Ugh.
Well, I mean, I guess we can all hold out hope that eventually some kind of legal decision is made on the validity of pardons signed by the auto pen.
Yeah,
because that would be the only real way to get him. Especially after they spent a chunk of time telling us how Trump was going to pre-pardon all of his family and friends when he left office for Joe Biden. And then Joe Biden went ahead and did it. Remember, you know, he's going to sign it because they're all guilty. Yeah. They're going to sign it. He's going to sign pre-pardons because all of his family is guilty of corruption and breaking the law. And then Joe Biden did it. Well, Joe Biden didn't do it.
Well, no. And then just one before we take a break, too. The other thing I noted, Senator Fetterman was wearing a suit and he was like the sanest Democrat in the room because he's wanting the same thing. A little open process. Can we get into this? And well, he's like the sanest. That's great.
He's not going to be a Democrat much longer. I think he's realizing that the party's left him.
I'm hearing whisper. Yeah.
You know, the other kicker is I sit here and go, one big premise throughout this thing was Fauci shattered people's confidence in government.
Yeah.
And this doesn't do anything to build it back. Exposing what truly went on and getting to the bottom of it and making sure it never happens again goes a long way in building the confidence in government. It's
right.
One reason why people don't trust elections. People don't trust things.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's absolutely right. All right, let's take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty, switching gears a little closer to home. I saw this Brandi Cruz. Brandi Cruz has got a great podcast. It's called Undivided. She's been doing some really great work. She tweeted this out. Apparently, there was a WNBA game in Seattle last night. Hunter, you said you saw part of it.
I did. I decided, because I'm seeing all sorts of clips about, you know, Caitlin Clark in particular, Sophie Cunningham, of course, both Indiana Fever players. They were playing in Seattle last night. And I decided, you know, I've never watched a WNBA game live. So I figured I'm going to tune in for a little while and I'm just going to kind of pay attention to see how things go. And to say, I understand why they don't get a large TV rating and people are kind of struggling to really appreciate anything WNBA outside of Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham.
See, now I don't follow sports at all, but I know who these two women are. And so Brandi had tweeted this out at the game. Fans, players, and even the owner treated there were a couple of teenage girls there. They were simply wearing XXXY athletic shirts. That's a brand. Obviously, XXXY. We know chromosomes. Cheering on Sophie, who was, and they were treating them terribly. And she's saying it's beyond disgusting. They were cussed at, booed, and intentionally tripped. One of them was berated until she cried. As usual, the people preaching, quote, love and inclusion proved to be the most hateful bigots of all. I will have much more tomorrow. This is on her show. So if you want to hear more about her thoughts on that. And again, this was an owner.
Yeah.
And so, then fans and players.
Yeah. So I didn't see this part. I tuned in, I believe it was sometime late in the second quarter, watched the second half. So my understanding is actually there was a contingent of people outside before the game celebrating and kind of rallying for Sophie Cunningham speaking up. And she didn't really speak up.
She
did was answer a question.
Right, right. Yeah. And stand by what she said.
Yep. And I sit here and go, so then to have these two girls, they look maybe 12, 13, 14, 15. They are young. They're not grown women.
No.
Go into a game and then get berated by the fans around them, intentionally tried to be tripped, and have an owner of a WNBA franchise berate them until they leave in tears. I'm going, where was the security?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because the moment you try to trip someone intentionally, that is attempted assault. Where was security in Seattle? And I sit here and go, you add this to the other things. The other thing I really noticed throughout this game was it was on ESPN. So non-biased, you know, commentary.
Are you throwing air quotes?
I'm throwing air quotes because what I saw was a whole lot of, we are going to talk up every player we can as long as it's not Caitlin Clark or Sophie Cunningham.
Oh my gosh.
They're talking about the amazing performance and players from both teams. Seattle got a, you know, has one of their players who had a great game. I think scored 20 some odd points in the losing effort. And another one for the Fever's team talking about, I think she scored 15 or 16 points in the third quarter. So they're talking up those players. Great. Caitlin Clark scored like 16 in the first quarter. Didn't hear much about that. There was one play where she on defense going up for a rebound. She was in position and the Seattle Storm player went around her, got the rebound and shot it up. And they were kind of like, well, that was Caitlin Clark's job to box her out and keep her out of the way. And I'm kind of going, so you're actively pointing out mishaps and things that don't go the way Caitlin Clark and calling her by name. But when you see it on the other end, you're touting, you know, a great play by someone else. And it was a great play by the Seattle player to go around her, get the rebound and put the basket back up. The other thing I see is a lot of less than pro caliber shooting. I mean, that to me, I'm sitting here going, I totally understand it's not the same product. The fact that Indiana scored 100 points in the win last night, that was their fourth straight game putting 100 points on the board. In the NBA, that happens nightly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But four games in a row is setting the WNBA record for reaching triple digits. WNBA record, been around for 20 what years, something like that.
That's the first time they've done that.
Yes. And I'm seeing a lot of coverage in touting some other players and doing these things. And it's kind of like, but yet Caitlin Clark did it just a couple of years ago. And they're not mentioning that.
No.
And I go, at what point do Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham, 73% of the jersey sales in the WNBA, bringing out tens of thousands of people to watch their games compared to single digit, you know, four digits wide, watching every other WNBA team in play, selling out major arenas to not selling out minor arenas. When do those two pack their bags and say, yep, there's better options out there?
Yeah. Kick the dust off your basketball shoes and go. Her Adidas shoes sold out too. I'm looking at a mm-hmm. picture on the thread. This woman saying she was there. The place is packed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the picture this woman took. She said the fans were gross and embarrassing. They had fun cheering on Caitlin and Sophie. So they're packed. Their jerseys are selling out. I was actually like, I don't really follow this, but maybe I'll get a jersey. I don't know. Her, I think it's Adidas. Her Adidas shoes sold out in like record time. Mm-hmm. Clearly these two women are superstars. Yeah. They should kind of just like, you know what? We're out of here, ladies. Bye-bye. You don't appreciate us. We're going to go someplace where we're appreciated.
Well, and to me, that's
because the fans seem to love them.
Well, and that's the problem. The league as a whole, the leadership of the league, the television production, you know, presenting this league to the public. It's like they don't care about the money, because here's two women that are bringing eyes. And rather than realize that we're here because of these two promoting things and getting people out here to watch, at least when they're on the court, instead it's like, let's focus on anything but those two.
Well, and you think about as well the role models that these two have come. They've inspired these younger girls to come out and to do something which is actually brave. It is brave to buck the trend, especially in Seattle, where the trend is not to support this. So for these girls to come out, to have their sign and to be vocal about it, that's really impressive. And that takes actual chutzpah and some courage to do it. So they're looking at their role models who have to do that every day. I can't imagine being mostly Caitlin Clark, knowing that every time you take the court, you're potentially just going to get the crap beaten out of you.
Well, I take that, and let's bring it down to the local level. We had Hoopla here last weekend.
Yeah.
Where there's almost as many girls teams out there as boys teams.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that long ago that the girls weren't even represented in Hoopla because there wasn't a desire to get out there and play basketball at that level.
Oh, that's interesting. I did not know that.
So it's been growing and growing over the years. So, I mean, it's what, 26 years of Hoopla? And it started with boys tournaments, and we can go down and we have a major tournament down here every winter time at the college that brings in out of state teams, both boys and girls. Girls flag football has become a high school sport in the state of Oregon. Let's celebrate the girls that are actually out there playing the game, working hard, and let's celebrate the people that get them to want to play these games, because it's a fun experience for them.
Yeah, it is. And I think I like seeing that the more girls are stepping up and defending themselves. And again, I'm glad Sophie stuck by what she said and did not back down and didn't get bullied into that. And she's just kind of out there doing it. So again, kudos to these girls. Shame on the adults for doing this to them. And again, Seattle. And we see the way things are handled in Seattle and Portland.
It'll be interesting to see if at the league level, if there is any punishment for this Seattle owner partaking in this behavior.
Right.
Because you're completely chasing away fans. That's what you're doing. You're chasing away fans.
Yeah. Well, and again, if you're not going to see this on regular outlets, you're not going to see what's happening with Fauci. You're not, unless you're going to meetings in Salem, you're not going to find out the local reporting. I haven't seen a lot of what it was talking about. So, all right. Well, that is it for us today. We've got another big show planned for tomorrow. Always lots to talk about. My show prep is always so fun. All righty, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.